huge sales usually for the cruise. So some of you may be leaving soon, so I need to find this time to connect with you. And September is the beginning of a new season for church. So let's go back and revisit our vision statement. I think it's very important for us. Well, I'm your senior pastor, of course. I really care much about this vision thing. And where is it? Can you show the vision statement? Is it coming? So a lot of people think, well, when the board was together, we were thinking about vision statement, we pray about it, and I was presenting this vision to them. And what they said that one of the requirements for the definition of vision is showing the end state. So so I was thinking, what's the end state for the church? And allow me to use, again, something that you might not be familiar with, but we've been living in Ontario for 16 years. So in Ontario, there are a lot of auto plants and a lot of news about them. 2008, some of them almost went under. And so we have a lot of news about them. And about the vision, the end state, a lot of people think maybe the church should be like that. You know, we should show our people, and someday we will be like this, you know, perfect, in shape, color, shiny, all these things, just ready to show to others that, you know, how beautiful we are, how perfect we are. And, but I don't believe this is what God wants us to be at this stage. And the end state might come when Jesus returns, and we will all be transformed. And then and I think that time, and then we can be just like this, showing the world and showing to our Lord Jesus Christ. But for the church, I think I will prefer to use the auto plan to describe who we are. And the end state for the auto plan, if you're the manager, if you are the owner or whatever, you control the auto plan, you are thinking about how do I continue to produce vehicles? How do I improve my workers so that they can do a better job? All these things in your mind. So, you know, Ontario, the auto plants always talk about, you know, how can we get a new model from the States? So when they're producing a new model, you know, we should be able to get it, and then hopefully everybody has a job. So they are talking about all these things. So in order for us to ramp up the quality that of our products, I think there are so many things that we need to do, such as we need to improve our skills as a workers. We need to do a lot of things to the auto plant, and we have to improve the materials, all these things. And then in order to produce something like this, you know, the workers are not the same. They got a lot of much better training, and they handle much more expensive materials, and they are thinking about producing something very high-end vehicles. So that transition, you know, as an auto plant, this could be the vision of an auto plant, you know, just not making 30,000 vehicles, but can we make something over $100,000 vehicles? So that could be the dream. That could be the vision for an auto plant, because they would always be an auto plant, because this is where they are at, and this is how they were built. And so their vision maybe is a mission statement. Is continue to improve themselves, improve the workers, the assembly lines, all these materials, so that they will be able to make not just $30,000 vehicle, but they can make something much, much better at the end. So there will be a lot of improvement, a lot of requirements for all the workers, manager, all those leaders, so-called. How do we improve our auto plant so that we can make better vehicles? And all this is trying to express to you that, you know, our vision is not just saying that we will be perfect and complete and shiny at the end, but we will say our vision is how can we make a better church so that people, when they come, they can become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And I think this is a lot of things that we need to think about. How do we get ourselves better? How do we get our church better? How do we get ministry better? How do we get all these things better so that we can move from one stage to another? And I think this is what we want you to know today. And I think if you look at it, building a high-end vehicle requires a lot of people, you know, from the front end, just producing, you know, the raw materials, making an engine, and then they put together all these skillful people. They have to work together. They have the same goal. You know, for people making cars like this, they are not just ordinary auto vehicle workers. They have a determination. They know where they're getting into, and people pay for them, you know, to give them a higher pay, whatever, I don't know. And they have a determination to make something very good. And they have to work together. Nobody just say, I do my job, but this guy is not doing his job, so how do you expect the end product like that? So there will be a lot of time you have to work together as a team, as a community of auto plant workers. But for us, it's a church, you and me, working together, and that we can produce what God wants as his followers. And I think this requires a lot of teamwork, a lot of transactions, you know, moving from one state to another, and requires sometimes takes a lot of pain, a lot of let go, let's move on, all these things. And I think based on the vision statement, we came up with four priorities, mission priorities. As I said, our vision is a mission. It's making better vehicles. Our mission is making better fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So based on that, we have mission priorities. As I said, Autoplant, they have to have upgrade their workers, they have to improve their materials, the skill, all these things. So we also have these mission priorities. How can we improve ourselves? In what area that we need to improve ourselves so that we can be in a situation where people can be a fully devoted followers of Jesus? So today we're going to look at, this is the four from our board, but today I just want you to look at the first three. And please turn your Bible to Acts chapter 2. Last week, our coach, Reverend Ken DeMore, talked about chapter 1. So today I'm going to talk about chapter 2. Seriously, it was just a coincidence. I think this is just God's plan. I was going to preach on Acts chapter 2, and he was preaching chapter 1. I thought, so I was sitting there, I was, oh, wow, this is wonderful. So let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. In this passage, I think you all know that. Chapter 1, we know Jesus, before he went back to heaven, and he said, wait in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit will come, and then you have a power, and then you have a mission to do, and you have to spread the gospel. And from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the world, be a witnesses. And he gave this announcement and commissioned them to do it. And now as we move on, chapter 2, the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes, and Peter starting to preach, 3,000 people accepted Christ. And that is the beginning. A lot of people believe that is the beginning of church. So let's look at verse 42. And I have three aspects that I think the early church show us a very important element in this passage. Let's turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And I think this is the first important element that you see when the church starting to form, and all these Christians, you know, new believers, they come together and they devote themselves to the word of God. When they say they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, of course, the apostle was teaching them about Jesus Christ. They were the first-hand eyewitness people of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they were teaching them about our Lord Jesus, his teaching, his life, all these things. And you see their fellowship. Fellowship, the word fellowship also means not just coming together, but have us share the same values, same belief, a group of people coming together. And they pray together, they break bread, you know, it's time to remember Jesus did. And this verse, I think it's a very, very important aspect of a church is to have what? Devotion. Christians, we need to devote ourselves inwardly, allow God to speak to us through his word, and coming together with same values, same belief, because this is a church. We are talking about when we are relating to God closely, this is not just individual relationship, you know, God, me, you know, God. You know, North American people just like that. But this is not. The book of Acts tells us that this is a community thing. When we come together, devote ourselves to God, this is a community thing. We all share something together. And I think this is very important because as you read, continue to read, you will see coming together, the importance of coming together. And then we continue to see this is an inward journey of a church. And for Luke, this is important. He described this as a foundation. We need to come to God. We need to connect with God through His Word. And churches, ECAC, we do this really well. We spend a lot of time investing in Sunday school, small group materials. We're doing all these wonderful things. You know, we want our people to connect to God. And we want our people to see that it's important that we are in a community and we are relating to God, not just individually, but in horizontally, we are also related to each other. This is a life that flows out from you connecting with God, and then naturally it should flow out to the community of Christians first. So we are doing really well. We invest a lot on these things. But lately, I think the last couple of decades, when I became a pastor, of course, the Word of God is very important to me. And I was looking at the Sunday schools, small group, Bible study groups, all these things. Those just are wonderful things that we need to continue to invest because this is fundamental. But the thing is, I observed lately, is that a lot of time we become an educational time. We try to tell our people, you know, this is the Word of God, you know, teaching this, you know this, you know, look at those little tiny Greek words and say, okay, let's break it down, and now you know this is the meaning of this word. But I'm afraid that our education time becomes just like the public school system. We give a lot of knowledge or even skill to the students. But nowadays, we do not talk anything about moral judgment. You know, this is right, this is wrong. We don't talk about that anymore. And I am afraid today our Sunday school and something like that, in a Bible study, we give our people a lot of education, materials, and all these wonderful breakdown words, you know, but a lot of time we shine away, talk about life-changing part. You know, I was preaching in a Cantonese service this morning. I was just addressing all the Sunday school students and small group leaders and Bible study leaders. You know, when you go in there, you are teaching, you prepare hours of materials, and then you go in, you teach, and I pray that, you know, you are going in with the Holy Spirit. You just pray to God and say, God, please come with me. You know, you are the true teacher. I'm just, a tool. So that people can not just know, okay, this passage, something new now, is so excited. You know, I'm going to tell my people, it's so excited because I found something new from the website, so I want to share with them. No, not just that. And I want just, you know, our people will really see that, just like the education system, you know, the teachers will talk about what is right, what is wrong again. And I hope that we can go further than that, because this is fundamental. This is relating, addressing our inwardly who we are and how we can please God. And I think this is important that we have a mission priority, spiritual growth. Our goal is seeking transformation of the whole person, humble and teachable, to reach full maturity in Christ, Colossians 1:9b. And I think this is important as we try to give a framework of our priority. Seeking transformation of the whole person. You know, we're not just talking about, you know, the brain, you know, how much you can learn, but we want to see the transformation of the whole person. But the prerequisite, the conditions that we need to be in is teachable and humble. Because otherwise, you won't learn. You won't allow the Spirit to speak to you. As we get older, this is our problem. I'm older too now compared to 30 years ago. I'm older now, and then I thought I know a lot of stuff. And why should I listen to others anymore? You know, that stubbornness, that, you know, arrogancy is always stuck in our heads, in a sinful nature. Why should I listen to you? Why do I have to entertain what you say? So the first conditions that we should be in, you know, when we come to God, come to the Word of God, even in your devotional time, please come with like this, you know, humble spirit, teachable. It's not about age. You can be 70 years old and still can open the Bible and allow God speaks to you if you are teachable. It's not just 15 years old, 12 years old. No, they are very teachable because they are like a white piece of paper. So we can give them anything and they will just absorb it. I don't believe that because it's the Word of God. Even you are 70 years old, 75 years old, or 80 years old, when you open the Bible, you are teachable, you are humble. I'm sure God still can speak to you and allow Him to speak to you. And I think this is very important that we need to see, and the church should focus on this too. We need to continue not just teach education, you know, knowledge, but really see people's lives change. And I think this is the first point that Luke was trying to tell us in the early church. And then the second aspect of early church. And all the believers were together and have everything in common. You look at it, you will see that two words together. When the life that you receive in Christ Jesus, the new life, you flow out. You know, if you really connect to God through His Word and all this coming together as a community in prayer, in devotions, all this close connection to God, it should be naturally flow out. This kind of Jesus life in you should flow out and connect to the others. And we come together as a church. They do things together. Coming together is very important. We pray for unity. We pray that, you know, our church can come together. ECAC, many immigrant churches face the same challenges, that we have two or three congregations. We have two or three languages. We have two or three cultures. So what? My point is, so what? If we are truly believers of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we allow God to speak to us, and we come together as a church. I mentioned it to you before, you know, ECAC, we have four congregations. And one is about 200 people, one is about 130, one is about close to 200 people, one is over 200 people. Do you want just three small churches doing their own ministries? Or we come together as a church of over 600 people. I think we can make a better and bigger impact in our community and for the sake of our God's kingdom. Let's come together, as the Bible describes, the flowing out, the deeper life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Individually, you are starting to connect, the true connection coming together. And I think this is a very important aspect of the early church. All the believers were together, and they share things together. You see, they go beyond just, hi, how are you, all those casual relationships. And just go so deep that, you know, they actually sell their stuff and they say, let's use it together. Well, theologians have all kinds of discussion because they thought end time is coming, so they just sell everything. It's okay what they say, but this is the community. Coming together, share everything together, and it requires a deeper, deeper level of commitment and deeper, deeper level of relationship. And it all starts from you, from me, how we connect to God. And it should be the outflow of who we are. And as you can see, our mission priorities too, we also address these dynamic connections. Building a strong body of Christ in our God-given diversity of cultures and language to achieve His mission together. The church has a mission, just like auto plant has a mission. Not just survive, but to do it better. We are not just in a surviving mode. You can choose that. But I would rather see our church go further and make a high-end disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it requires your involvement, my involvement, sometimes even change, in order to achieve that. And this is our connection. And this is, we need to come together as a one church. And I think it's important for us to see, if we are just doing our own things, it will never work. But the problem we have for many churches, I think you know that, we're stuck here. When the church reach certain size. We spend all our resources, the majority of our resources, manpower, our energy, focusing our own needs. When a church community started to establish, you would discover, look at the budget. Most of the budgets reflect ministry debt. Most of them serve our own needs. And I think our church stuck here. Many, many churches stuck in this area. And then we just say, let's happy together, let's enjoy life together, let's have fellowship, let's eat together, let's die together. So nobody was listening. Let's die together. A lot of Christians think that way. Let's get all together, and then either you attend my funeral service or I attend your funeral service. And then when new believers come to our church, we do the same thing. They get the idea. Okay, Christian life is about Friday to Sunday. Come to church, enjoy each other, fellowship, go to Sunday school, go to worship. You meet the requirement, they let you stay, so you continue to enjoy life. Are we going to produce Christians like that? We're stuck here, you know, because let's go back to a little bit about Canadian Chinese church histories. Well, I don't know all of them, but at least I know something about our CNMA. Our CNMA started at the first Chinese church in Regina, and then our church, ECAC, is the first five, could be the first five churches, Alliance churches, which established in 1970. So for many decades, I think from that point on, we all know that 70s, what happened in the 70s? We are flooded with international students. So many coming to Canada. So all you need to do is just Sunday open your church. A bunch of students coming in with a lonely heart. They have no place to go. You know, they are such a lonely guys. No, I don't. My parents are not here, so I should go to church. At least I can meet some girls. You open the church door on Sunday and just tons of people coming in. So for the decades, you know, the next two or three decades, what we do is open the church, come and believe. That's our strategy. Come to our church, I will make you believe. We have Sunday school, we have Bible study, small group, individual, try to reach to you, share the gospel with you, but as long as you come in, no problem. We will get you. And then 90s, all the family comes, wonderful. Not just students now, all those students with problems, but now it's a whole family. They're a little bit normal. So they come to church, come and we'll try to reach you too. So the strategy for us to use as a church for decades is come, let's have a wonderful program, and then we will help you to accept Jesus. But what happened after 1997? No more students, no more immigrants. And then in early this century, many churches thought about, you know, maybe we should do some outreach. Maybe we should go back to early church. Maybe we should look at the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. And you know what? There's a pushback. Churches say, no, we don't know how to do this. Is it biblical? Believe it or not, some churches' leaders will give you a pushback and say we should not invest on those outreach programs. It takes people time to, you know, to face the reality. Come and believe doesn't work anymore. And if we should go back to the Bible, look at the book of Acts. Go and make disciples, not come and believe. And I think this is very important for us to see. This is the last point, you know. God is trying to get the church some attention. Praising God and enjoy the favor of all the people, the last point, and the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. If you look at it, if you look at verse 43, I didn't mention it, verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miracles, signs were done by the apostles. They were in such an awe, you know, because at that time, there were so many things happened. Pentecost. Peter preached, 3,000 people accept Christ. It was a new thing to them. It was just awesome. They were fearful, not fear in the sense of fear, but it's really reverent, you know, reverent to God, all these wonderful things. And then they turn around, they see the church is doing something they should do, and they were pleased. You see, they enjoy the favor of all the people. The church, brothers and sisters. Can we say that to Hamptons? You know, they find favor in us? If we just stay in the church, you know, Friday to Saturday, to Sunday, the parking lot is full. We all come back, enjoy our, you know, all these activities, and then, yeah, we are stuck in the second point, you know, dynamic connection. We connect together, we spend a lot of time together, but the people outside look at the, wow, the parking lot is full. What are they doing inside? My point is, the church gets stuck in the second point. They're starting to easily coming together. They enjoy their church life and starting. And then they forget about Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And a few chapters later, actually, it's quite funny, because chapter 8, verse 1. So 1, 8, and then turn around, 8, 1. So God, Jesus give them a commission. And so he said, go, chapter 1, verse 8. And then you turn to chapter 8, verse 1, the church was persecuted. And everybody scattered. And they went to what Jesus said, Judea and Samaria. You see, the danger we are facing is that when we start in the second situation, we are so connected together, we so enjoy ourselves together, God has to do something to get your attention, and then, I don't want to use those bad words, you know, get us excited and then get going. Let's get going. Don't forget what you need to do as a church. For them, persecution. For us, I don't know yet. But I hope we won't see that. But let's go to this, praising God, and then we have to get out and let people see something more than just we having a good time during the weekend in this building. So our mission priorities, active evangelism. Adaptive evangelism. Finding creative ways for people far and near to hear the full gospel at least once. At least once, far away or right here, right in our community. That's why we have coming Saturday, we have an open house. We want to connect to our neighbors. We want them to know that we love them and we would like them to see us as neighbors, just like the story of Good Samaritans. Let the neighbors, our Hamptons, decide if we are their neighbors. If they can rely on us, trust us, and depend on us. 2 weeks from now, our STM is going to Aruba. Oh, by the way, I just want to say thank you for all your financial support. They reached 26,000, so don't give any more to that ministry. You see, we are doing this what God wants us to do. We all want to open our church. We want to connect to people. We don't want to have four walls enjoying ourselves, these 600-some people, and continue to pull resources to ourselves, serving our own self. But let's reach out to our neighbors. They also need our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is our priorities. So we should learn from our Lord Jesus Christ. I think this is very important. The message, I think, is just hit right on John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. So where is our neighborhood? Incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, almost done. Jesus came. There's two aspects I want you to see. I'm sure you already know that. Very familiar with. mission. Jesus came with a mission. Not just, he didn't come just to hang out in the land of Palestine, you know. He came with a mission. So the definition of a mission, though, nowadays is to send one with a message or performing a service or a specific task. And we are really good at it. As a church, especially Chinese church or churches from Asia, because our culture, our background, we work really hard because we know that we need to work hard to get what we want, you know, stable life, good job, a lot of money. So working is no issues to us. We treat ministry like that too. We treat service like that too. You know, we work really hard. We, you know, as a church, we are very good at it. Even there, but just like open house, you know, so many people came up and say, let's do this together. We will make it happen. And this is, we are good at serving. We are good at doing things. And I think it's very important too, because I want you to see a caution. The church is the instrument of God's mission in the world. But read the second statement. We are the instrument. As a senior pastor of this church, elders, council members, small group leaders, whoever you are in leadership positions, please, please, we need to remember that. We are not using mission to grow the church for the sake of numbers. We are here to do what God's heartbeat. It's not a ministry. It's who we are. If you listen to God's heartbeats, we are the instrument. God has a mission. He already has our mission. Do you want to join Him as a church? And I think this is important. The last point I want you to see is a definition of incarnation. You know, Jesus, not only He came with a mission, He came to show who God was. He always said that, look at me and you will see God. As a church, not only we do missions, mission not just mission, you know, sending team to overseas. We're talking about doing God's missions, reaching the world, reaching your neighbors, seeing people to accept Christ. But incarnational, meaning that we need to do this like Jesus did. People see God in His life. And I want you to get this seriously, because as a Chinese church, we have no problem, we have no issues, we are very good at doing missions. Task, complete the task, complete ministries, planning, all these things is good, but a lot of the time, we have a problem. We do not grow as a Christians. Outwardly, we are doing task, but inwardly, nothing changed. And this is not right. Incarnational, Jesus showed us who God was. Our job, our mission. But at the same time, I want you to see that your life is far more important than just complete a task or a ministry, activities. And I want you to get this, because this is what Jesus' happy is. You know, He wants us to not just serve, but He wants people to see who God truly is, and we want to show our people, not our people, the people that are living in Hamptons, we want to show people in Aruba who God is through our lives. That's why we need to go back like a circle. We need to go back to the first point, the devotional. You know, how much time you spend with God, how much you allow God to change you. And I think this is like a circle. We need to see that. Incarnational ministries. You can go to the website, you can look at all kinds of a definition of incarnational theology, all those things. Wonderful, a lot of arguments. I'm not talking about those. I just make it very simple. Let people see Jesus in our lives. The opportunity is coming. I'm not doing commercial. But this is our focus. We want to see each one of us not only good at serving, but serve with a good spirit, and then allow God to change our lives. So that we are not just saying, just completing a task. So this is our mission, our vision statement and our priorities. And we just want to go back. As a pastor, I love to, I hope to, I pray that someday or very soon, you know, church will go back to Acts 2 church. Fully devoted community, strong community, that our life will flow out and then people will come to Jesus because of us. Not because of what we do, but because who we are. There's a statement from an Alliance pastor. He said that, stop going to church. You know, we come to church. This building, a lot of time we treat this building as a church. Stop going to church, but be a church. We are the church. Each one of you. Stop going to church. Be a church. And this is my prayer. Let's pray together.